when you finally see the real picture hidden by the pattern. Or when you see the large creatures hidden by glamouries that didn't fit, because Mormons are not 12 feet tall. I'd have been worried, despite still being inside the house's formidable wards, because we'd gotten some less-than-friendly visitors in the past, and some of them had been tricky. But I had Stinky on my hip, who had a sixth sense for trouble, yet was just calmly gnawing on his bear. And then I noticed a familiar pink satin clutch tucked under one burly guy's arm, and felt my spine relax. "You wouldn't happen to have any muffins?" I asked hopefully.
"Not today."
"Worth a shot." I got out of the way. The missionaries shoved their way in, and despite the fact that the front door was a double one, it was a tight fit for a few. At least, that was judging by the scraping sounds and the paint flaking off on either side, and by the heaviness of the feet causing the glass in the transom to chime as they passed underneath it. And, okay, that was weird, because I knew Olga's boys, and they weren't that big. Most of them were family, various relations she and her late husband had helped come over, and who she was sponsoring until they started to figure things out. These didn't strike me that way, and not just because of the size. The adolescent trolls I'd met had a cheerful innocence about them, like Imsi with his flowers, or Sven with his sword practice, which had caused even the jaded royal guards to crack a few grins, although they usually stifled them when they saw anybody watching. But the point was, the twins were endearing. These guys? I wasn't sure what vibe I was getting, but I didn't think endearing fit. I led them to the dining room, because it had the only furniture likely to support them, a sturdy old hardwood dining set built back when craftsmen took their job seriously, and because I wanted to check them out before I let them loose on the rest of the house. Not that I didn't trust Olga, but she didn't usually have an entourage. I was glad I'd made that call when I suddenly found myself confronted with a strange group of large, scary-looking fae, and one small one. "What's with him?" I asked Olga, as the little guy was deposited in a chair by the troll who'd been carrying him. I guessed he was a troll, too, although it was hard to tell. He was smaller than me, and scrawny, like a deflated balloon. Where there should have been bulging muscles, there was just loose skin. Where there should have been bright round eyes, there was only a pair of slits, cloudy and vague-looking. And where there should have been a nice greeny-brown skin tone, there was a dull ashen color, with patches that looked almost black. Bruises, I realized. I hadn't known trolls could get those.
"Escaped from slavers,"
Olga said, taking Stinky from me. She used to babysit him, and had a soft spot for the little guy. But today she looked like she just needed someone to hug. "Be back in a sec," I told her, and ran off to find Claire. She was where I had left her, yelling something at Cademan that I didn't bother to listen to, because I was afraid we were about to have a corpse on our hands. "Got your kit?" She stopped, mouth still open, and blinked at me. "What?" "Troll, half dead, or maybe more than half. Olga just brought him in." Claire blinked again, and I could almost see the transformation. From harassed mom with in-law problems to competent nurse on a mission.
"Where?"
"Down the hall." She grabbed a bag from a cabinet and was on my heels in a second flat. We entered the dining room to find the troll seated on groaning chairs, Stinky with his chin propped on his bear's head, watching everything with inquisitive eyes, and the little troll out cold, face down on the table.
"Help me get him up,"
Claire muttered, and I hurried to comply, a little worried about just how easy it was to lift this particular troll. He felt like a bag of bones, and looked it too, after we laid him on the table and Claire ripped open his shirt to reveal little more than a lattice of ribs, and—
Fuck me.
That was me, of course. Claire is usually able to convey emotion without profanity, But she wasn't saying anything at the moment, just looking down with the kind of expression you hope to never see from your doc.
You help?
Olga asked, looking from me to Claire. Neither of us answered. Claire was busy examining the little one, her mouth pinched almost to non-existence, while I was realizing why my hands were wet. The dark patches I'd noticed on his arms were a black lake on his chest, one composed of old caked blood and some fresh. I wiped my hands on my jeans and left greenish-black smears behind, and looked up to see Claire's face mirroring what was probably on mine. "There's no open wound," I said, looking for some kind of hope.
"It's internal. Trolls bleed through their skin if it's bad enough,"
Claire said shortly. "And it's bad." It wasn't a question. She looked up at me, answering with her eyes the question I hadn't asked. She couldn't help him. And if Claire couldn't, nobody could. Her last name was Lachesis, and she belonged to one of the oldest and most respected families of healers anywhere. They had once been known for something else, back when poisoning had been the nobility's favorite pastime. But over the centuries, they'd grown out of their dodgy rep into a respected family of potion sellers. Not that their concoctions would help the Fae, who did not respond well to human medicine, if at all. But Claire hadn't specialized in human illnesses. Even before she had found out about her own unusual genetics, she'd been drawn to the Fae. She had worked in R&D, looking into the potential healing properties of Fae flora, which was one reason we'd ended up as friends. She was the only person I'd ever met compassionate enough to want to help a half-mad d'enfer. Which was probably why she was tearing up now, and rooting around in her bag, I guess for something to ease the little one's pain at least. Until she suddenly stopped and just stared at the wall for a second, before dropping everything. Literally, the bag scattered its contents of precious bottles and handmade plasters all over the floor, and running out the door. And before I had a chance to go after her to ask what the hell, she was back. And hell had come with her. Or, so you'd have thought, when a tableful of massive trolls suddenly surged to their feet and a dozen weapons flashed under the dining room's dim lighting. One of them was close enough to have given me a shave had I been the type to need one. That was happenstance, though, because the weapons weren't aimed at me. They were aimed at Cademan. He stood in the doorway, shimmering softly, because he'd drawn down the glow that the light fae tended to have in our world. Not that it helped. I'd always heard the expression, you could have cut the tension with a knife, but in this case it would have taken the sword gleaming by my eye socket, because it was so thick I could barely breathe.
Stop!
Olga said suddenly, because nothing intimidated Olga. Something that sounded like a cross between a word and a growl came from a huge specimen on the far end of the table. He could only stand while bent over, despite the high ceilings of the room, which flattened the top of an impressive mane of white hair and allowed braids the size of my arms to brush the tabletop. And he was so heavy with muscle that he was the only one at that end of the table, because no one else would fit. He wasn't speaking English, and nobody felt like translating, but I didn't need it. His expression was eloquent.
"Cademan can help," Claire said,
which didn't.
"Claire,"
I licked my lips, having seen what a bunch of pissed-off trolls could do and not wanting to see it again.
"Why don't you take Aiden and..."
But Claire wasn't budging.
"Kessa!"
she yelled unnecessarily, because the little au pair was never too far away. In this case, she was already peering in the door, worriedly. She was another relative of Olga's, on her late husband's side, who had been a forest troll, like Finn. Also like Finn, she was tiny, only a little over 3 feet tall, and cute, with big brown eyes, for a troll, and a mop of brown curls that always seemed to go everywhere. She'd been brought on board after Olga got her business up and running again and hadn't had time for babysitting. Then Aiden came along, and now she cared for them both, with a gentleness that belied her ability with a double-headed axe, if anyone threatened her charges. She was looking around now, like she was thinking of getting the axe, until Claire took her son from Cademan and handed him over.
"Take the boys outside," Claire told her.
"To where my guards are," remained unsaid. Gessa nodded. Stinky didn't want to leave, but a firm pat on the backside from Olga and a stern look from me, and he loped off with Gessa, one small hand in hers and the other dragging the huge bear, leaving just us grown-ups, except for the small troll, who didn't look that old to me. Or to Claire, I guess, because she moved toward the forest of blades before I could stop her.
"He's a child, and he's dying."
She stared around the table, green eyes flashing.
"What is wrong with you?"
"You help,"
Olga told her again, subtly getting between Claire and the male trolls.
"I can't help," Claire said,
shoving frazzled red hair out of her eyes.
"You should have come to me sooner."
"Just found."
"He's your nephew?" I asked, because I really hoped not.
"No. Slave. Ran away last night after fight."
"What happened?"
"Slaver's men found. Tried to kill."
"So he couldn't rat them out," I guessed. She nodded.
"We find, but they find first. Killed them."
It was nonchalant.
"Good,"
I thought. I'd find some more to question. Ones who hadn't tried to kill a child.
"Listen to me," Claire said, looking around the table. "I don't have the skill for this, do you understand? I need help."
Nothing. Nobody moved, nobody breathed. A bunch of humans would have had tired arms by now, holding weapons that heavy, that still for so long. But the trolls hadn't so much as blinked. They looked like some kind of Renaissance tableau. A deadly one, with small dark eyes reflecting the overhead lighting, which also glimmered on the swords and axes and knives, and on the scattered pieces of armor that some of them wore, despite the fact that I'd rarely seen trolls think they needed it.
"Listen,"
Claire said again, because it didn't look like anyone was.
"I can't help your friend, but he can."
She pointed wildly at her father-in-law, who also hadn't moved, not so much as a finger. He was still in the doorway, hands loose, weapons still in its sheath. Not that it mattered. Every damned person in the room knew how quickly that could change, which probably explained the standoff. Well, partly explained it.
"I thought you guys were okay,"
I asked Olga, looking from her to Cademan. They had seemed to get along at a dinner party they'd attended at my crazy Uncle Radu's recently, who was absolutely the kind of guy to put dark and light fae at the same table and think nothing of it. Yet somehow, everything had worked out. More or less. But the less hadn't been because Olga and Cademan were at each other's throats. They might not be friends, because fae didn't really understand that term the way humans did, but they also weren't enemies. At least I hadn't thought so.
"We okay,"
Olga agreed, and several of the nearest trolls growled. This did not appear to faze her.
"He not hurt us,"
she pointed out, with a little more liveliness than I was used to from Olga, and got an almost shockingly long comment in return from White Hair. I couldn't understand it. I don't speak troll. But compared to the 1, 2, and 3-word answers I was used to, it was positively loquacious. It also wasn't appreciated.
"She can't help,"
Olga said, using the language everyone understood because she had manners.
"He can."
"No." This was another troll, shorter but even more well-muscled than the last, with a shock of gray hair and a face that looked like it had been dragged behind a truck at some point, some point a long time ago, because it had healed and scarred over, yet still had little bits of gravel embedded in it, all along one side. They glittered in the low light, reminding me of the big guy from the fight, the one with all the scars. Except this one lacked the exotic coloring. He was the same greeny-brown as the rest, but looked like he'd lived a harder life. Much harder. And he wasn't having it. Which sucked for him, because Olga was. The next thing I knew, she was up on the table, crossing the expanse of shining mahogany faster than I could blink. And, okay, that did not help the tension any, I thought, as the other trolls stiffened. But she didn't pull a knife, didn't have any weapons that I could see at all. He did. A short sword, which in this case meant slightly less than the 6-foot length of some of the others, and it was out. But he didn't turn it on her. I waited, but nothing was said for a long moment as they faced off. Literally. There wasn't so much as a millimeter between the two of them. It was nose to nose, eye to eye. And while it might not sound like much, just two people looking at each other, it was somehow more intimidating than any of the chest-beating and wall-thumping I had seen last night. Suddenly, I could barely breathe. My arms broke out in goosebumps, and my hands flexed, wishing for a weapon, any weapon. I glanced at Claire, and she didn't look any better. Her face was flushed, her eyes so green they almost looked electric, and her hands were gripping the back of the nearest chair, like she was thinking of throwing it at somebody. But then the bigger troll looked away, even turned his head slightly. And while nothing was said, the tension snapped like a rubber band, hard enough to stagger me. I had no freaking clue what had just happened, but I didn't have time to worry about it. Because Cademan was doing something. He didn't touch the little troll, or even move out of the doorway. But a light suddenly shone through the cracked and darkened skin of the small one, as if he'd been lit from within. It was soft at first, gentle, visible only because the room was dim. And then it flashed outward, shining up through pores and mouth and eyes, turning the skin translucent and highlighting the two fragile bones and organs beneath. It was almost as good as an X-ray, a truly impressive display that danced on the ceiling and everyone's faces. It was also useless, because there was nothing left to save. The internal organs were all but pulverized, from a beating so savage that even a couple of the trolls made noises. The slavers who had done this hadn't just intended to kill. They'd intended to write a message in his pain. Come after us again, and this could happen to you. But Cademan must have helped a little, because the small eyes opened after a moment, and a hand raised, trying to grab Olga's. She had shuffled back down the table to squat by the little troll's head. She took the hand. His jaw was fractured, off-center and sagging, but he managed to whisper something anyway. I didn't catch it, and wouldn't have understood if I had, but Olga did better.
Yes.
Her fist hit the middle of her chest.
Swear.
He nodded slightly and said something else, and her expression grew confused. Then the light died, and the small face went slack, and I thought that was it. But I'd reckoned without Faye's stubbornness, and I don't just mean the trolls, because a second later I was knocked aside by someone glowing like a small sun. The sudden radiance eclipsed the electric lighting, caused the trolls to throw arms over their eyes, and prompted Claire to make a sound of distress, probably worrying that somebody was about to attack her father-in-law. But no one did. Even when he got his hands on the child, pressing them into the little chest, almost hard enough to crack it. And then all that light, all that power that had allowed a Fae King to fight his way to a portal in enemy territory, that had practically seared our shadows onto the walls, that had caused havoc all over the house because it needed a place to go, found one. It poured into the little body, a flood of power that looked like it would rip him apart, but instead did the opposite. I stood there with my mouth hanging open, because it was like watching a film move backward, rebuilding tissue, plumping muscle, brightening eyes, which opened in pain and panic and confusion halfway through, with only Olga's hand on the boy's shoulder stopping him from getting up and trying to flee. But he didn't. He just lay there. And I continued to stare, as healthy color flooded over gray, as the cap of scaly skin on his head sprouted with hair, as blood dried up and flaked off, and ribs, cracked and scattered and broken, began working their way back into some semblance of order under his skin. Then the light cut out, not fading away, but all at once, like a switch was flipped off. Cademan staggered and almost fell, but Claire and I caught him. And Olga stepped protectively in front of him, palms out and arms extended, because showing weakness is never a good thing among the Fae. But nobody tried to take advantage of it. Nobody, in fact, was looking at him at all. The other Fae were gathering around the child, who was still sprawled on the table and looking far from well. He had some very unnatural dents and bumps in his chest, some mottled skin on his hands and arms, and a jaw that still didn't fit quite right on his face. But he was alive. And like me, nobody seemed to quite know what to do with that, until Olga threw her head back and spoke for us all, and roared. Chapter 10. Well, that was intense. I'd given up on dinner and was hanging off the back of the porch, a long neck in one hand and an ice pack in the other, because my head hurt. Olga nodded. She was in the porch swing with her own beer, which looked entirely inadequate in those huge hands, but it didn't matter since I'd brought a bucketful. It was sitting on the weathered boards between us, along with a pillow, some blankets, and half a dozen apples, because there was every chance I might not get up again today. I hated convalescing, but if you had to do it, this was the place. The late afternoon sun slanted across the backyard, glinting off the ice in my bucket and striping the blanket where the boys were supposed to be playing, only they were running after fireflies instead. Or rather, Stinky was, his long arms making the chase at least somewhat competitive, while Aiden was mostly falling on his ass. But he looked like he was having fun. So did a horse over by the fence, Cademan's, presumably, which was poking fleshy lips between the slats, trying to reach Mrs. Luca's roses. And Claire's guards, who were roasting something they weren't supposed to have over a fire pit and laughing with the boss. He'd recovered about as fast as you'd expect for a guy who kept a bunch of crazy Fae wrangled most of the time. But he also looked like he'd be happy sitting around for the rest of the day, shooting bull and drinking beer, instead of performing any more heroics. The king of the Fae looked pooped.
"Fish! Tracks! Door!"
Olga said suddenly. I looked up at her. "What?"
"Fish! Tracks! Door! You understand?"
"No." I lay back against the boards. They were sun-warmed and velvety smooth, the way wood gets after being worn down by weather and feet through the years. They went nicely with the buzz of bees raiding the garden, the creak of chains holding up the old swing, and the tinkling sound of an ice cream truck in the distance. It didn't come down this street anymore for reasons, but still gave a melodic accompaniment to the scene. "Nice," I thought sleepily, and seriously considered taking a nap, which I absolutely was not going to do because dinner was almost ready. Assuming we had enough to accommodate all our extra guests, that is, because the trolls hadn't left. From what I understood, they were some big shots in the local troll community who had been at the fights last night and offered Olga their help. She had been glad to accept, since apparently all hell had broken loose shortly after I passed out. The slaver had ended up dead somehow, and as soon as they heard, the slaves had started to flee. That wouldn't have been so bad, even if most of them were new arrivals who had no idea how to navigate the human world. Worst-case scenario, they'd be picked up by the Corps, a bunch of nosy mages who think they're the supernatural police, and sent back to Faerie. Best-case scenario, somebody like Olga would find them, and they'd get adopted into the local Dark Fae community. Or at least they would have, except the slavers' assistants had preferred to kill them rather than let them escape and give evidence. Hence the hell. The fight had quickly devolved into two camps, although not exactly the way you would think. Some of the slaves had sold themselves to the slavers in order to escape the wars in Faerie, which were even more likely to get them killed. They'd been promised money and a new start if they survived so many fights, and those nearing the end of their contract had been persuaded to help the slavers in return for an early payoff. Others had sided with the slaves, like the big scarred guy, who had torn a swath through the slavers' initial advance. Larger trolls like him had given the smaller ones, mostly water boys and cut men there to help with the fights, a chance to flee. But the slavers had called in reinforcements from their compound in Queens, and somebody else had called in the Corps, which caused a panic, since a good percentage of the spectators were just as illegal as the fighters. The lot had quickly turned into a knockdown dragout. Literally, the Corps had been dragging people out, which explained why Olga was still in her sparkly pink outfit. She hadn't gotten a wink of sleep. She and her guys had been on a mad scramble to find the slaves before the slavers did, while somehow avoiding arrest, since not all of Olga's people were exactly legal either. Fortunately, she'd had the charms to help with the latter, and the former had been simpler than one might expect, because we're talking trolls here. Young, hungry trolls, because the bastard slaver had only fed the guys who were going to fight and needed to bulk up. So, of course, every escapee had made a beeline for the nearest source of food. Olga's group had fished one guy out of a mom-and-pop grocery, where he'd been going to town on the produce, and a couple more who'd popped open a semi-truck and were helping themselves to a bounty of tasty cakes, wrappers and all. Olga said their digestion would take care of it. I had decided not to ask what that meant. And a third group who had broken into a local brewery and been found with bellies so distended by all the beer that they'd had to be carried out because they could no longer walk. So, yeah, she'd welcomed help from the elders, which was the best translation of the big guy's titles. Together they had managed to recover a number of slaves, including the tiny one currently asleep in the trundle bed in the boy's room. However, relations appeared to have soured all of a sudden. I wasn't sure why. I just knew that the boy had been carried upstairs by Olga herself, and that, when the other trolls tried to follow, they'd had their faces smashed into a ward that she'd flicked on as she went past. That had not been appreciated, especially by Gravelface, and a somewhat lively conversation had thereafter taken place in the middle of the hall. It was still going on, only without Olga, who had left halfway through. I didn't blame her. These guys were dicks.
"It what child say?"
she told me suddenly. I jerked back awake, which was a surprise since I hadn't recalled drifting off. "What?" I stared around. "What is?"
"Fish. Tracks. Door."
I frowned, trying to get the brain to work when it didn't want to. "What child? The troll child?" She nodded. "Just now, when he was about to..." I blinked. "What did he say again?" She repeated it. I sat up. The motion made me dizzy, which pissed me off. I drank some beer and told my body to deal with it already. "What does that mean?" I asked. Olga shrugged. "Well, it must have been important."
"What's important?" Claire asked, coming out of the back door.
I looked up. The sun was setting in her hair, making it almost look like it was on fire. "Fish, tracks, door." She frowned at me like maybe I'd hit my head harder than she'd been told.
Are you all right?
More or less. She frowned some more, put down the crate of dishes she was carrying, and started pawing through my hair.
You have quite a bump.
It'll go down by tomorrow. If she'd stop poking at it, I didn't add, because she was trying to help.
I can get you an ice pack, she began before I held up my dripping one.
Got it covered. She seemed to accept this because she let me go.
They want to see you,
she told Olga, who sighed, but got up and lumbered inside. That left the swing free, but Claire sat down beside me instead.
Are we eating soon?
I asked hopefully, eyeing the dishes. They were for the picnic tables that we used far more often than the dining room, since it was nicer out here in the garden, and we couldn't fit everybody inside anymore anyway.
As soon as the pizzas arrive.
She shot me a chagrined look.
No way to stretch soup that far.
I nodded. I'd seen trolls eat, and those were what I was coming to view as normal trolls instead of the hulks I'd been encountering lately.
How many pizzas?
I asked, feeling like I could eat a whole one all by myself. Claire didn't answer. She had one of those faces that was in turns perfectly plain and completely beautiful, all depending on her mood. When she was in a temper, the emerald eyes flashed, the ivory skin flushed, and the bright red hair, only a shade or two off from Olga's fiery locks, seemed to have a life of its own. She was almost half-human, but I swear when she was really, truly angry, she didn't look it. She wasn't angry now. Now the eyes were a dull olive, the cheeks were pale and pinched, and the freckles on the long, thin nose stood out clearly. The hair reflected her overall mood, sagging dispiritedly around her face. "Want a beer?" I asked, and passed one over when she nodded. She looked like she could use a bit more than that, like maybe a shoulder to cry on for some reason. Only I didn't know how to offer one without making things worse, because Claire could be touchy. Comes with the territory when her recent history involved almost being killed by her slimy cousin, who'd wanted to inherit the family business, being spirited away to Faerie by a handsome prince, getting pregnant, having a kid, having said kid almost killed by a murderous fey court who didn't like the idea of a part human heir, and escaping back to Earth, where she was now living in a crazy house with a Damphir, some adolescent trolls, and a bunch of royal guards camped out in her backyard, stepping on all the vegetables. It was enough to make anyone cranky. But she didn't say anything, just drank half the beer like she could use it, then narrowed her eyes at the fey across the yard.
What are they cooking?
I tried on an innocent look.
Couldn't tell you. Don't lie.
She leaned forward a little, and the sharp eyes narrowed on a pile of something that I don't think she got a good look at, because a fey flicked a cape over it a second later. She started to get up, then sighed and sat back down again, and drank the rest of the beer. Are you all right? I asked, because Claire always took care of everybody else, while often forgetting to do the same for herself. And it was hard to remind her, because sensible people backed off when she said,
I'm fine,
in that certain tone, and her eyes flashed. Of course, I'd never had much sense. You don't look fine, I said idly, and passed over another beer. She looked at it.
I'll get drunk.
Off two beers?
Off an empty stomach and two beers.
She took it anyway.
And a truckload of stress.
Why are you stressed? I asked, and immediately regretted it. If storm clouds could grow a face, that would be it. And okay, stupid question.
Oh, I don't know, Dory, she said, throwing out an arm.
But she didn't say anything else. Just chugged the beer in a way that would have won her another round in any campus bar, then set the bottle neatly by the porch post, where I'd been piling mine. and lay back against the sun-warmed boards, her hair going everywhere, like she enjoyed the feel too. I decided to join her. For a while, we both just stayed there, watching a spider build a web across a Victorian curlicue in the top of the railing. Gessa could be heard telling Stinky to let go of something, and then wrestling him for it when he predictably declined. Aiden laughed. A horse we shouldn't have had whinnied. I sighed. The portal had a setting that led out into the garden, but for security reasons, it didn't work the other way. The only entrance was in the basement. So to get the illegal animal out of here, we faced the prospect of leading it through the house and down a narrow flight of stairs, and then across a crowded basement where the portal light would probably cause it to freak the hell out. At least, that's what had happened last time, and no one had thought it fun. And since the troll twins didn't trust the light fae in their sanctum, and the light fae didn't trust the trolls with their precious horses, it was probably going to be left to me again, and frankly, it's getting worse, Claire told me abruptly. I rolled my neck over to look at her. What is?
You know what. I think...
She swallowed, but didn't turn her head to look at me.
I think it's getting stronger.
I didn't say anything for a minute, because, yeah, I did know. Because Claire and I had a similar problem, if for totally different reasons. I was stuck with a crazy other half because of a weird mental operation Mircha had done once upon a time, without really understanding what he was doing. I didn't blame him. Nobody else had known what to do either. Domfears were so rare that there was no money in figuring out how to help us. My condition, or whatever you wanted to call it, might have been around forever, but it hadn't preoccupied the attention of anyone in the healing profession. Until Claire. I hadn't understood why she, who was mainly interested in the Fae, would want to help a human-vampire hybrid, especially a crazy one. But she had, cultivating some extra-powerful Fae weed for me that calmed the beast when nothing else could. But lately I'd come to believe that maybe I did know why she'd given a damn. Even if she hadn't known it then, we weren't that different. Because Claire was a hybrid, too. Her mother had been human, with a tiny bit of brownie in the mix somewhere. That wasn't particularly odd for the magical community, and hadn't seemed to affect her. But her father... Well, her father was something else altogether. It was why Cademan was here, trying to bum assistance for whatever he was up to in Faerie. It seemed that the Fae had their own version of shapeshifters, just like our Weirs. Or, no, not just like. Because while Weirs could be terrifying, especially in large numbers, none of them held a candle to their Fae cousins. None of them morphed into a 2,000-pound dragon. Claire hadn't realized that her mother's lover, who had been in human form when they met, obviously, was anybody special. Nobody in the family had ever said anything, and she'd never shown any signs of peculiar abilities, until she took a trip into Faerie with Hadar, and discovered the hard way that she was something known as two-natured among the Fae. The revelation had been a little traumatic, from what I had heard, and apparently things hadn't improved since. Her other half was still an adolescent, because living on Earth had stunted its development, but lately it had been making its presence known. "Still craving rare steak?" I asked. Because Claire, the old Claire, was a strict vegan, something her other half was not on board with. She waved the question away with a flutter of long white fingers.
"Yes, but I can handle that. I can't..."
She stopped, her throat working. And then she blurted it out.
"How do you do it?"
"How do I do what?"
"Not explode!"
She sat up, her face white, but her eyes bright.
"I felt it. What you carry inside you. All that anger, all that rage. Every time I pulled it off you. The first time it was such a shock that you could even function. And in the garden that night, It was amazing. Just amazing.
She shook her head. Yeah, that was one word for it, I thought uncomfortably. She was talking about an incident a couple weeks ago when Luis Cesar said something that offended Dorina, and she'd almost gone ballistic, threatening not only him but everybody else we'd had over that night, including the commune that lived across the street, and as far as I knew, were 100% human. It had been terrifying because I'd been fighting with everything I had, but I still couldn't control her, and I didn't know what she'd do if I let go. Thankfully, Claire had been there, and even more thankfully, her human half is what is known as a null witch, someone capable of pulling magical energy off other creatures. That was how we had met. She'd been working at an auction house after fleeing her homicidal excuse for a cousin, calming down the odd little items they had up for sale, some of which could be dangerous if a null wasn't around to drink all that excess energy. I'd been shopping to bulk up the arsenal, and we'd started talking, and it ended up as roommates because our abilities complemented each other. I'd kept her safe from her weird-ass family, and she had kept me, well, more or less sane. Except for that night, when even she hadn't been able to drink it all because Dorina was pissed. Luckily, Luis Cesar had old-fashioned manners and had apologized the way that one master did to another, by kneeling and offering his neck to her sword if she'd had one. It was archaic, but then so was Dorina. And it had done what nothing else could, and sent her back to sleep, leaving the rest of us seriously weirded out, especially me, because I wasn't used to being awake when she emerged. Not that she had entirely, but it had been close enough to shake me, and apparently it hadn't been any better for Claire, and now I was kicking myself for not even thinking about that. "I'm sorry," I began, but she was already shaking her head.
"It's okay. I just meant you fought it, somehow. If you hadn't, I wouldn't have had time to do anything, and who knows what would have happened. I need to know how to do that. I thought I understood that I could handle my problem like I did yours, but that was something from outside of me, someone else's emotion. It was distant, you know?"
Not really, but she was looking at me hopefully, so I nodded anyway.
"But now..."
She bit her lip.
"Dory, I almost lost it in there. When they wouldn't let Cademan help, when they were just going to watch that child die, I almost..."
Her eyes met mine, and there was genuine fear in them.
"It wasn't distant then. I wanted to kill them, to rend them, to hurt..."
She put her face in her hands. I sat there, feeling awkward, because I wasn't used to having friends. The fits had always made it too dangerous, much less to comforting them. I sometimes looked around at all the people in my life now with sheer amazement and no little fear that I wouldn't know what to do in any of the roles I suddenly found myself in, parent, lover, best friend, because I'd never played them before. But Claire had been there for me when I really needed her, and she clearly needed something from me now. But I didn't know what. So I just hugged her, remembering how much it had helped when Luis Cesar had done the same for me. And after a startled second, she hugged me back.
"I wanted to eat them, Dory,"
she whispered, her voice cracking.
"I wanted it so damned much. And I just..."
She hugged me harder, and it hurt because my ribs were apparently never going to freaking heal. But I didn't say anything. She was hurting more.
"How do you do it?"
she asked again, sounding fairly desperate.
"I can't turn into this thing. I won't."
I didn't know what to say because the truth wasn't something she wanted to hear. The fact was, anger management had never been my specialty. I'd learned a few tricks, but it was always a crapshoot whether any would work. Mostly, I'd learned to live with it by letting my emotions out on a regular basis when I hunted, which helped to calm them the rest of the time. And calm emotions kept the door locked on Dorina. But Claire was a vegan nurse. She didn't hunt. I didn't know what that meant for her. But I didn't say that, or anything else, because the back door suddenly slammed open and a bunch of trolls spilled out, and they weren't looking happy. Chapter 11. "What now?" I said as Claire scrambled to her feet.
"Is the little one okay?"
she asked, looking worried. But the trolls weren't stopping to chat. They were already off the porch and halfway across the garden, leaving me and Claire looking at each other because they were obviously heading for Cademan, and I don't think either of us knew what to do about that. But the royal guards didn't seem to have that problem. They went from relaxed and mostly supine, lounging around the fire in that boneless, cat-like way the Fae have, to on their feet in a row in front of Cademan, swords out and game faces on, in about the time it took for me to blink. I sometimes wondered why the hell I spent so much time worrying about hurting people when I was probably the weakest one around here anymore. That didn't change when Olga came out of the door a moment later, and then just stood there, hands on hips, looking pissed. Because she'd clearly had enough of the macho brigade for one day. She started down the steps, but Claire grabbed her arm. "What's going on?"
"They being stupid,"
Olga said.
"Is the boy all right?"
She nodded.
"He asleep."
"Then what?"
"They want to know why he help,"
Olga said, gesturing at Cademan, who was on his feet now, too.
"Well, why wouldn't he? He had the power to spare."
Olga started to say something, and then just gestured at them. Because, yeah, inside voice was apparently not a thing in trolldom. We took off for the latest crisis, despite the fact that we could hear them from the porch, and so could half the neighborhood. Not that they'd probably understand what they were saying. I sure didn't. But not because of the language barrier.
"Boy has no clan. No one pay for him. You get nothing."
That was the big troll with the scraped face, and yes, I'd been right. Now that we were in better lighting, I could see that it was definitely some kind of black, sparkly gravel embedded in his skin from temple to neck and glinting redly in the setting sun. The skin had grown back around it in scarification-like swirls, as if it had been in there for decades. Because, sure, why pull it out, right? I didn't understand trolls at all. And it looked like Cademan didn't either.
"I don't recall asking for anything."
It was said mildly enough, but for some reason it seemed to enrage the trolls, several of whom took a step forward, to the point that they were almost touching the shiny tips of the royal guard swords, which no one had lowered, and which a couple of the boys looked like they'd enjoy having an excuse to use. Claire must have thought so too, because she started forward, only to have Olga hold her back. It would have been funny under other circumstances, because Olga's gesture was that of a mother reaching an arm across a child during a sudden stop in a car. But Claire wasn't a child, and she didn't look like she appreciated it. Like, really didn't. And suddenly the hairs on the back of my neck were standing up.
"I have a grandson," Cademan was saying, apparently oblivious. "The boy is scarcely older. I wanted to help."
"No light fae help dark. Not for no reason."
Gravelface looked pissed.
"He did. Boy, fine. Go home,"
Olga told them, but nobody was listening. Possibly because a lot of them wanted a fight. The royal guards were bored out of their minds with nothing to do all day but hang around Claire's garden. And the trolls? Well, I frankly didn't know what their problem was, but they definitely had one, making me wonder what the hell they had expected to happen.
"Did you want us to just let the kid die?"
I demanded.
I didn't really expect an answer, but for some reason I got one.
He too sick. Can't get to healer in time,
Gravelface said, still staring down Cademan.
Olga say she know another, so we come, but not to him.
But he saved him.
And now we owe debt. He want us to fight for him, die.
We not die for Light Fey King. No more.
The garden exploded with the chant, and with chest-beating and growling and half-lunges toward the guards, who planted their feet and stood their ground. Even though the only thing keeping Dark Fey blood from smearing the tips of those swords was the thickness of the hide battering into them. Great.
He doesn't want you to fight for him, I yelled to be heard over the racket.
I looked at Cademan.
Tell them!
I'm always happy to recruit new auxiliaries.
Cademan!
But that wasn't what I was doing today. You owe me nothing.
See?
I asked, and Olga nodded, and then threw up her hands because they clearly didn't see.
You say that now,
Whitehair said in perfect English. So I guess he'd just been being a dick inside.
But when the time comes, you'll call in the debt and throw us in front of your own troops to spare their blood. We know how you see us, Fey King. We know how all of you see us as nothing but animals.
My daughter-in-law is not an animal, Cademan said, his eyes on her. Like mine should have been, I realized, because Claire was looking a little odd. It wasn't physical. She was the same slender girl in an old-fashioned floral print dress, which should have made her look dowdy, but somehow never did. All she needed was a big, floppy-brimmed straw hat, her hair in messy braids, and a wheat field to model for one of Vogue's Girls of Summer covers. And a different expression, a really different expression.
Claire?
I said, and got a low, rolling growl in return.
Maybe we should go inside, check on that soup?
I began, only to be cut off by raised voices from the crowd. This time they weren't in English, so I don't know what they said, but whatever it was prompted a quick interjection from Olga, who wasn't looking so concerned with etiquette anymore. There was some yelling and gesturing, and then...
You lie!
It was Hothead again, and I was beginning to understand how his face got like that. I was hankering to chain him to the back of my car and drag him for a few miles, and I'd just met him. But if Payne hadn't taught him something before, it probably wouldn't this time either. Not that I had a chance to find out. Not before he jumped for Claire. And that probably wasn't his best move, I thought, stepping abruptly back. Or what he'd expected, judging by his expression when his back slammed into the ground hard enough to tremble it, and to add some rocks to other parts of his anatomy as he thrashed around in full-on panic, and went nowhere. Because the taloned claw suddenly pinning him to the earth didn't belong to the girl I knew, or even to the cute baby dragon I remembered, but to something else entirely. For a long moment, I just stared. The first time I'd seen Claire in her alternate form, she'd been, well, frankly, adorable. I'd still been weirded the hell out because dragon, but even then I couldn't help noticing the absurd tuft of purple hair between the two little glass-like horns on top of her head, and the tiny black wings squashed against the ceiling in the hall because she transformed in a too small space. Or the, healthy thighs and butt, neither of which those wings were going to be lifting any time soon. Of course I could have been wrong about that, because it looked like baby was all grown up. The fat little haunches were currently sleek and gleaming with a river of pewter scales. The wings were huge and thick and heavily veined, blocking out much of the sky, and bisected by a ridge of amethyst that had been just a smear of color up the spine last time, but was now a line of crystalline structures,
like they were literally carved out of semi-precious stones. And the ridiculous tuft of hair was now a full-on mane, falling between two massive, translucent, curled horns. She was beautiful, if a 20-foot embodiment of death can be described that way, or rather 20 feet if you didn't count the tail, which was long and spiked and thrashing around, digging out great swaths of grass and telegraphing her mood all at the same time. A mood that could obviously be summed up as face-eating furious. I didn't want to see her eat the troll's face, despite not caring for it much. Because I did care for Claire, and I didn't know how she would take that once this was over. Scratch that. I knew exactly how she'd take it, considering that she planted freaking marigolds around her garden to ward off pests so she didn't have to kill them. So, yeah, time to save the asshole troll. Only problem was, how? I glanced at Olga, but she wasn't much help. She was just standing there, blinking slowly. Because, yeah, she hadn't been there before, had she? And while she'd known what Claire was, knowing and seeing are two different things. Very different. So it was up to me. Only I was unarmed. Seemed to be a theme lately. And even if I hadn't been, I didn't want to hurt Claire. Not that that was likely. Because the talons at the ends of those huge, scale-covered paws, the ones that had previously been the size of my handy penknife, were now somewhere between butcher and machete range, and razor sharp. The one pinning the troll down had a slight scritch-scritch motion going on. Hardly anything, really. Barely enough to notice. Except for the line of green-black blood dripping down his rock-hard chest and side, the ones that the Fae swords hadn't even managed to dent. I swallowed and licked my lips. Claire? It was soft, tentative, almost a whisper. Yet a split second later, the huge, finely tapered snout was in my face, and I was staring into a pair of eyes that had once been pansy-colored and kind of silly, but weren't so much right now. Now the nictitating membrane that had freaked me out last time slid across irises of fiery orange, burning yellow, and at the very edge, a ring of pale purple. That would have been intimidating enough all on its own, but for today's serving of extra crazy, the striations weren't static. The little lines that radiate out from the pupil in a human's eye just sort of stay there. I thought the same had been true of Claire's, even in her transformed state, although I admit to being slightly freaked out and not nearly this close last time, so maybe I just hadn't noticed. But I was noticing now, and these were not. These spread outward in an ever-moving kaleidoscope of light and color. Orange lines pierced the yellow, yellow radiated back into the orange. The purple flared and blurred with barely contained elemental fire. The whole a hypnotic dance of color and movement and shit, I thought, shaking my head, feeling dizzy. And warm and happy and kind of sleepy, because she'd almost had me. Without even trying, she'd almost had me. A gal who had thrown off vampire suggestions all her life like water off a duck's back. But I had almost been hypnotized, just standing there, swaying lightly on my feet until I made myself stop and shook my head again before looking back up at her defiantly. Because not today, Claire, not fucking today. "You need to stop this and go back inside," I told her. My voice a lot stronger this time. Right now! Only that swishy tail didn't think so. It casually destroyed a stone garden bench, reducing it to rubble without apparently noticing, and scattered the pieces far and wide. Meanwhile, the talon continued to press into the troll, a little harder now, judging by the size of that trickle. And the vertical pupils, like the fucking eyes of Sarin, met mine with what I swear was a challenge in them. I got a sudden flash on Mrs. Niedermeyer's cats, and the snake that one of them had found in her yard one day. Just a little thing, a bright green grass snake, harmless and kind of cute. That hadn't mattered to the cat. who had stayed on its haunches, its tail swaying side to side right in front of the little creature. And every time it had raised up its snaky head, thinking maybe it would make a slither for it, the cat would put out a paw and bop it back down. Because cats like to play with their dinner, don't they? Just like dragons.